This morning we're reading from Hebrews 4, verse 14 to 5, verse 10. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Every high priest is selected from among men and is appointed to represent them in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. This is why he has to offer sacrifices for his own sins, as well as for the sins of the people. No one takes this honour upon himself. He must be called by God, just as Aaron was. So Christ also did not take upon himself the glory of becoming a high priest. But God said to him, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." And he says in another place, "You are a priest forever, in the order of Melchizedek." During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and, once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek.
Well, can I add my happy Mother's Day greeting to everyone as well? And since she's probably watching this from Singapore, hi, Mom. Happy Mother's Day. Sorry, I didn't get your present this time. I've got to earn those brownie points whenever you can. One of the things I'm most grateful to my mom for is the fact that I know she prays for me a lot and for my family. She's a huge example to me because, I don't know about you, but I often find praying hard, knowing what to say and even remembering to pray. Sometimes I don't feel like I should bother God with my little prayers or that maybe I don't deserve to be heard today because, I don't know, I just haven't been a good person. But today we're going to see in Hebrews that because of Jesus, not only can we go to God for help, we can do so confidently, knowing that he hears us. But first, here's a question for you. Has anyone here come face to face with royalty before? Like, is there anyone here who has spoken to the queen or the current king in real life? No, maybe. I've got to hear that story later, Your Highness. My brief encounter with royalty was when the president of Singapore walked past me during a military parade when I was in the army back in a previous life. I'm the guy under the arrow, I think. I can't remember the moment all that well, except I think I held my breath in as he was walking past. I'm not sure why. Maybe I didn't want him to smell it. But, you know, there's a ton of protocol in place, right? Like, you imagine gate crashing last week's coronation because you wanted an audience with the king. There is no way you're getting in. In fact, throughout history, if you just rocked up to a king without invitation, or you were invited but you went in the wrong way, you could lose your life. As Aragorn would say, one does not simply walk up to a throne. But what about God's throne? Would that be any different? According to the Bible, that would be infinitely harder. So Moses, the great man of God, spoke frequently with God, but never once actually saw him, because God said, quote, "No one may see me and live." Because perfection cannot mix with imperfection, it wouldn't just be difficult to approach the God of the Bible, but literally impossible. God is too holy. He's too powerful. He's too good. And we would be obliterated by pure light. And when you understand that, you realize how crazy it is that the author of Hebrews says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence. Like, go right up to God. Talk to him directly. Get help from him directly. How can we do that? And how can we do that with confidence that we're not going to get, you know, turned away or destroyed? Today's passage gives us four really great reasons. Reason number one, Jesus has given us full access to God. So look at me, look with me at Hebrews 4, verse 14. It says, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess." Now, before Jesus came, were people able to approach God's throne? Well, no, as we saw, but kind of yes, because God did make a way possible, but only through someone else, through a priest. If you're new to this, which let's face it, I don't know if there's many of us here who are experts when it comes to the ancient priesthood. Let's take a closer look at that. So all the way back in Exodus, after rescuing the Israelites from Egypt, God made a commitment to the people that he would dwell with them as they traveled towards the promised land. There was a small problem, like we saw before, which is that pure God, impure people, and there's just no way the two could overlap. And so God creates the priesthood, that middle man, men from the tribe of Levi who would act on behalf of the people. God graciously provided a way in which the priest could offer sacrifices to symbolize that all impurity was dealt with and the people could now be with God. And this would take place in the tabernacle, or, you know, aka the temple. And on top of that, there was a high priest, the big boss, who once a year would get to push aside a thick curtain once a year and enter the very inner sanctum of the tabernacle. Why? Because in that room was the Ark of the Covenant, there in the left of that picture, or what King David would later call God's footstool, the footstool at the base of the throne. In other words, the Israelites, in a sense, did get to go to God's throne, well, the very bottom of it, through someone else, through the priest. It's a bit like this. I, Ming, have no power to demand an audience with the Prime Minister of Australia. But if there's something I really, really need him to know, I could speak to my local MP, and they might represent me in Parliament before the PM, if they're not too busy or they don't think my issue is less important than all the big grown-up stuff that they do. But it turns out the priesthood was never meant to be the final thing. It was simply preparing the way for Jesus, our great high priest, that little extra adjective that you might have seen there, better than all the other high priests combined. And why say that he ascended into heaven? Well, it's to show that Jesus didn't just push aside a curtain to see a footstool. No, he went into heaven itself, into the very throne room of God, the actual throne room of God, as it were. And because he now stands in our place, it means we're there too. It means Jesus has given us full access to God. We get to speak directly to the Father because of his Son. A big reason why we pray isn't because we have to, it's because we can. So that's the first reason. I mean, think about why we often end prayers with "In Jesus' name, amen." It sounds like a signing off, right? Like a "yours sincerely" thing. But no, it's really the Christian's humble acknowledgement and brave declaration that we get to walk right up to the throne and speak to God himself. Full access. It's not crossing our fingers that our priest followed the protocol or that our MP actually passed the message on. Because of Jesus, we get to talk to God face to face. So that's the first reason. But the second reason we can approach God with confidence is that Jesus gets us. He understands us. Have a look at verse 15 with me. "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin." Jesus isn't some detached holy man who you could never relate to. He faced the full human experience from birth to death, and so now he can truly empathize with us. One thing I know that often stops me from going to God, I think, is the sense that he's probably upset or at least disappointed with me in some way. You know when you walk past a police officer in public and you instantly just feel guilty about something? I know you probably have a concealed weapon on you or something. When I was in grade 2, I think, I was called to the principal's office, my teacher told me that, for no reason given. It's like the most mean thing you can possibly do to a kid. I remember walking along the dark hallway, just petrified, just thinking, what did I do wrong? Thinking of everything I might have recently, you know, done to like break the school law, convinced I was going to get in so much trouble. And it turns out I wasn't in trouble at all. In fact, I can't remember why I got called in. That memory got deleted. But I wonder if that's what stops many of us from approaching God. If I'm feeling guilty, in fact, if I know I'm guilty about something, the last place that I want to go is towards the light. But listen to this. We have a high priest who can empathize with us. Jesus was human, and so he knows what it's like to have our weakness, to be tempted in every way. How is that helpful? Well, the author says how in chapter 5, verse 2, he is able to deal with us gently, with those who are ignorant and are going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. Jesus deals with us gently because he's been there. When I see my kids struggling with something that I know I myself struggle with too, I deal with them gently. I don't always get that right. But if I, as a very imperfect father, can feel empathy for my kids, how much more Jesus, since he knows exactly what it's like to be human? Jesus is not surprised by your sin or your struggles. It's never a, how could you, or a, I would never. No, Jesus gets it. He gets it. And that's why he deals gently with you. Now, you might be thinking, tempted in every way. Was Jesus tempted in every way? I mean, Jesus wasn't tempted by online porn or by binging social media or by being harsh to his... He wasn't tempted to be harsh to his wife or his kids or, you know, lie in a job interview. But Hebrews tells us that in a really profound way, he has. In Matthew's biography of Jesus, do you know what's the very first thing Jesus did to kick off his 3-year ministry? It wasn't, you know, a miraculous healing or a parable. He went straight into the desert by himself for 40 days to face temptation. Jesus is hungry and exhausted, and he gets manipulated by Satan to take control, to get what he wants. And not once does Jesus yield. And throughout the rest of his life, Jesus was falsely accused. He was misunderstood. He was rejected by even his closest and dearest friends. How great the temptation must have been to want to just end it all. Or to lash out, to blame God. And to make it worse, unlike us, he actually had the power to change things, right? Like, he could have turned the stones to bread when he was tempted to do so. He could have actually just gotten off the cross. In fact, it was literally what onlookers said as they mocked him. They said, "Come down from the cross if you really are the Son of God." And he could have. He totally could have. Can you imagine how difficult the temptation must have been to just put an end to all his suffering right there and then? But he went through it all. Jesus went through all of it. And the author of Hebrews says that's actually now what qualifies him to be the author of our salvation. In verses 8 to 9, it says, "Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him." It wasn't that Jesus was imperfect, but because he suffered and never once sinned, he became the perfect person to rescue us. Be honest, do you sometimes think God is unrelatable? Like, maybe you can go to him for the big stuff, but the day-to-day grind, the chronic struggles, how could he understand, let alone care? Look at the life Jesus lived, and no longer can we say that God doesn't get us. The temptation to seek sinful ways to cope, to choose what's easy instead of what's right, the temptation to want people's approval, the temptation to long for the life that could have been versus the life you actually got. Jesus gets it. So go to God with confidence because Jesus empathizes with your weakness. And so he deals with you gently. We've been looking at why we can approach God's throne with confidence. The first reason is that Jesus himself is our great high priest who has given us full access to God. The second is that Jesus gets us, tempted in every way and yet did not sin. But I confess, even though I know in my head that gentle Jesus made a way for me to go to God, I still sometimes feel like God's going, ah, you again. Oh, you're so, so lucky Jesus let you in here. Almost like God has no choice but to listen to my prayers because I found like a Jesus loophole, a Jesus cheat code. But the author of Hebrews gives us another reason why we can approach God boldly. It's because God actually wants to help us. He's the one who invited us. Look at chapter 4, verse 16 with me. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. All the thrones of the world, thrones of power. I mean, going back to that picture of the coronation, all the pomp, the gold, it speaks of ruling, of power. And maybe or not intentionally, it even feels oppressive. But did you notice how God's throne is described? It's a throne of grace. If the thought of standing before God makes you feel like you need to hide or run away because you're going to get condemned, then hear what the Bible is saying. Because of Jesus, what you actually receive from the throne is grace, mercy, help in your time of need. God never says you again. His arms are always open. He is always glad to help. It is God's joy to give grace and to give mercy to us, his children. We know this because the author takes great pains to explain that Jesus was appointed high priest. Chapter 5, verse 1, every high priest is selected from among the people and is appointed to represent the people in matters related to God to offer gifts and sacrifice for sins. And again in verse 4, no one takes this honor on himself, but he receives it when called by God, just as Aaron was. In the same way, Christ did not take on himself the glory of becoming a high priest, but God said to him, you are my son, today I have become your father, quoting Psalm 2. And in case we missed it, again in verse 10, Jesus was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. We'll look at Melchizedek a bit more later on in Hebrews, but the point here is that Jesus getting the honor of becoming high priest was God's choice, not his choice. And it's not just in this passage, it's actually all throughout Hebrews. So in chapter 1, all the way back at the start, verse 2, God has spoken to us by his son, whom he appointed heir of all things. And chapter 3, verse 2, he was faithful to the one who appointed him. And again, chapter 7, 28, but the oath which came after the law appointed the son who has been made perfect forever. Why is he stressing again and again that God made Jesus high priest? Because it means all that going to the throne stuff, Jesus being our bridge to God, it wasn't a loophole that Jesus found. It was God's plan all along. God appointed Jesus to be high priest. We all know of people who seize power for themselves. I'm thinking dictators, corrupt leaders, my good friend from high school, who somehow convinced the teachers that he'd make a better band major than I would, and they listened to him. Still not over it. But Jesus did not seize the power for himself. God appointed him to be our high priest. God orchestrated all of history precisely so that Jesus would become our ultimate and perfect representation before the throne. Hey, if you think that you can't go to God because you're not wanted there, then know that you've been invited. There is an invitation card with your name on it in God's handwriting. The Father doesn't begrudgingly accept your prayer because Jesus twists his arm. No, God wanted to give you full access to the throne, to his goodness, and that's why he sent Jesus. What difference does this make to us? Well, I worry a lot. I worry about my kids a lot. I think it comes with being a parent. I stress about work and about study a lot. I can list so many things in my life that I wish were different. And I suspect you can too. And I need to be reminded that there's someone waiting to help me at the throne of grace. There's nowhere else that I will receive the help that I truly need. Why can we go to God with confidence? Firstly, Jesus has given us full access to the Father. Secondly, Jesus gets us because he's shared in our weakness. And thirdly, we can go to God because he actually wants us there. He made the way possible by appointing Jesus. But there's one last wonderful reason, and it's that Jesus prays for you and God hears Jesus. It's incredible. Look with me at chapter 5, verse 7 to 9. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Now think about it. When did Jesus pray with fervent cries and tears? Well, for all we know, maybe quite frequently, but definitely he did so the night before he was killed, right? In the Garden of Gethsemane. Ironically, Jesus praying to the one who could save him from death didn't result in him not dying. But look at how he submits. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. And so now, for those who trust in Jesus, every time we don't submit to God, every time we refuse to say, your will be done, Jesus' submission stands in our place. Does God really hear your every prayer? It's a normal question to have. I mean, what if you don't even know what to say? Maybe you're a newer Christian, or maybe you're in youth and you just see people around you who just seem to know what to say when they pray, as if they were born praying. What if you don't have the right words? Or what if you don't even know what to ask for? There have been many times in my life I've gone to God with real hurt. Either, you know, stuff people did to me, or I'm in a mess of my own making. I know what I did wrong, and I know I need to go to God, but what do I say? Hebrews tells us that Jesus himself offers up prayers and petitions on our behalf as our high priest. And just in case we miss it, says it again in chapter 7. He's able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Jesus prays for you. He prays to God for you. And look how he does so, with fervent cries and tears. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed till his sweat was like drops of blood. That's how it was recorded. That's how intensely he pleads for you before the Father, to not look at your sin, but to look at him, at his perfect sacrifice. And God is pleased to accept it, to hear every one of Jesus' prayers for you. So even if you stumble through your words and you don't know what to say, what matters so much more is that you're still going to God. God's not listening to you just because you got the words right. He listens to you because of Jesus. So pray wherever you want, whenever you can. Go to God with full confidence. Here's a pretty famous photo of the U.S. President John F. Kennedy sitting behind the Resolute desk in the Oval Office in the White House. Think of all the world-changing decisions that have occurred in that room, right? All the history-changing documents that were signed on that very desk. But as some of you may know, that's not the full picture. It's only half the photo, because underneath that desk that day was John F. Kennedy Jr., just 1 month shy of his third birthday. See, the man above him may have been his president, but he was also his dad. And so he had every right to be there. He had full, innocent confidence that he could approach the throne with just as he was. For some of us, the question today is Jesus my great high priest? If he isn't, then God's throne is rightly a place of fear and condemnation. Who can stand before him? But if you have faith in Jesus, then he now represents you in heaven, and you can be as sure that God accepts you as you can be that he accepts Jesus. You have every right to walk up to that Resolute desk and just be with your Father. You're welcome there. If you're not a Christian but want to know the assurance that your prayers will be heard, then trust in Jesus. Go to God for yourself. Pray. Ask him to save you through Jesus. And if you want to find out more about Christianity, we would love to help you. At morning tea, why don't you check out the Connect desk over on the other side to ask some questions or grab some helpful stuff to read. Or sign up for Hope Explored, you know, that three-week course that we're putting on starting next month where you can learn more about Jesus. We'd love to have you there. So church family, go to God with confidence. Jesus has given you full access to the Father. And because he faced every temptation and did not want sin, he gets you. He knows exactly what you're going through. Even if you don't have the right words and you're just stumbling through your prayer, God hears it all with compassion because his throne is a throne of grace. So pray often and pray confidently. And let's do that together right now. Loving Father, thank you. Thank you for making a way back to you. You saw us in our sin and our weakness, and instead of leaving us, you sent Jesus to become one of us, to know suffering and temptation and yet never give in. Lord, we don't deserve to stand before your throne, but Jesus does, and so we stand in him, filled with confidence from your word that you understand us and hear us. So help us look to Jesus. Lord, help us to pray, even if we don't have the words. Even if we see no way out of the situation we're in, because you've promised to help us in our time of need. And we pray this boldly because we pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen.